Hello and welcome to All Range Mode Podcast, episode 38. My name is Joe, and I'm living life down in the cove.
My name's Chad, and I'm living life down in the cove.
My name's TJ, and I'm living large in the cove.
How's it going?
All Range Mode!
So let's rapid fire into our thoughts on Elysium. I'm just going to quickly, I think, let's announce our worst thing about the movie and best thing about the movie, I guess.
Okay.
Charlton Copley.
Okay, so...
That's worst.
Chad, what's the worst thing about Elysium?
Charlton Copley. The villain. The so-called villain. Didn't find him threatening, didn't find him well acted.
You thought he was worse than the score?
I thought he was worse than the little girl in Elysium.
Okay.
Yep.
TJ, what's the worst thing about Elysium?
Jodie Foster.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. She didn't do anything to the movie for me. And I hated the way she talked, and I don't know.
Yeah, she always had a different accent. I don't know if that was like a... She's smart, she's a worldly person, so she has to always have...
Well, they could have made it more obvious. It just sounded... It came across, anyways.
Well, she was at a party, and she was speaking French to those people, and then she started talking German or some shit. I don't know.
I guess. But either way, her character just bothered me. Even her death scene, if you think about it, right? Like, that one guy gets his... It was spoiling, right? His face blown off.
I guess, yeah. We should announce...
Let's just say...
Full spoilers.
Sure, okay. So, the one guy, if he gets reconstructed... you're really not. Why did she, submit to dying so quickly for being such a ruthless person? I was thinking about this afterwards, too. I didn't mention it. You know, she could have got regenerated easily.
Yeah, keep me alive.
Yeah.
Didn't they throw her in the...
No, she died in the room with the girl and the...
Oh, yeah. The doctor tried to keep her alive.
Yeah, I was like,
didn't
let me go.
Didn't she say, let me... Let
yeah, it should have been, take me to the medical bay.
Keep me alive.
Why not? Yeah, but they didn't do a good job keeping fucking Charlton Copley alive, and they were able to bring him back.
You know. Well, he's dead. But his brain function's still going.
Which is ridiculous.
That was one over-the-top, sci-fi element, you know?
If your face got blown off, you'd have a heart attack instantly. Cardiac arrest. Your heart stops bleeding, your brain dies.
Well, it's fine. It's a sci-fi movie. It's fine to push what we can do. But my problem is...
What the human body can do?
No. Us regenerating stuff, you know what I mean? Like, technology-wise.
So it restarts the heart?
Oh, yeah, that's all that stuff.
Replaces the dead cells in his brain?
Yeah, it rebuilds him. The problem is...
So any dead person, this thing cures death.
What?
The brain's still functioning.
That was another... Yeah, but okay.
Organic. No, hang on.
As long as the brain's still
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying that the problem I have with that mostly is if you have technology that good, the odds are you can do something with the poverty problem on Earth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought of that. I'm not going to count it as my worst thing, but here's my gripe. The story was broken. It was just... It was so bad. And different parts of the story disagreed with other parts of the story. It was horrible. Yeah. And the worst offender of that was the fact that they're the Earth's overpopulated. We've run out of all the resources. Human beings, it's the Matrix fucking paradox. Humans are a virus that are going to take over all the natural resources on the planet. And that's that. So Elysium takes... the fortunate few, brightest minds and privileged
Riches,
civilians. I suppose you could say that. But, I mean, they're getting off of that dead planet. And the end of the movie, what do? They start to bring that technology. So, essentially, these guys are immortal. They're immortal on Elysium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were talking about hundreds of years, 100-year contracts and shit like that. And, and then all of a sudden they just open up all these pods on Earth, so there's a cure for death on Earth, and it's just gonna fuck everything up. There's too many people.
There would be 10 years of turmoil of people fighting each other, and before anything could ever even possibly get done.
I'd like to see the sequel to Elysium about the repercussions of putting these fucking pods on Earth.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, one pod comes down and it's got 20 medical bays in there. It's like, why would you even need that on Elysium? Where are you taking a plane that has that many medical pods to a single spot?
Yeah. Also, no,
we're holding them back because we have infinite energy up here that just fusion cells that
power. Everyone's got a table in their thing, like
not only that, any rogue group of the brain is hijacking that ship. And they're making Elysium 2 on Earth. Like, they're gonna hijack the ship, they're gonna keep the resources to their own. Like, any gangster who's smart enough is going to capitalize on that resource.
And
the whole cycle's gonna happen again. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't, like, I suppose District 9 doesn't make that much sense.
There's a lot of movies, though, that once you get to the end, you realize that actually can't work. Like, it's not as easy as you think.
But, they throw a lot at you right at the end as if you're not gonna notice.
Yeah.
Like, so Matt Damon's whole thing is to go and heal himself, but as soon as he upgrades the software... Oh, no. What does he want to do? Just lie down in the bed and then go back to Earth? Like, what's his plan from the get-go?
To live?
Yeah, to live. Like, I don't understand why putting that mech suit on him, like, implanting that into his, like, nervous system, that just, like, cured his
No.
His like decomposition.
Yeah, like his.
You got 5 days to live. On day three, with this fucking.
Yeah, no, thing like 2 minutes in, he's like, he's puking all over the place. He gets metal on him. He's like, let's go, and he's just fighting, throwing cars. And
well, I saw it as it was holding him up. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, but he wasn't even sick the whole time. He was just like.
No, you're right. He should have been like pausing once in a while to like cough or like throw up or some shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like to make it more realistic.
Well,
realistic. That's another thing we have to.
Well, I mean, it certainly didn't hinder his fucking fighting skills because he got into a fist fight at the end of the movie, and somebody who's 2 days away from death would not. It so many bad things. It's worse than Dark Knight Rises. It's worse than Dark Knight Rises, which is saying quite a bit.
All right.
So I suppose I'll call that my worst thing is the story is broken. But we should talk about the good stuff.
Yeah, I want to say...
Chad, what's the best thing about the movie?
We can probably all agree on this.
The chunks.
The chunks. Oh,
the chunks. I was like, what is it? Like, yeah.
Neil Blomkamp knows how to make his chunks.
Yeah, he's good.
They were the coolest, like, fleshy, cool deaths.
Comparable to like any classic N64 game, I would go as far as chunks. Just in like how beautiful the chunks are.
Yeah.
All the
What N64 game?
Every 64 game has chunks. And it's like every character, just splits into maybe 12 polygons. Like just 12 squares. You know, remember polygons? Do you remember Wolfenstein 3D, the original one?
Yeah.
What happened when you kill Hitler?
That's at the end, I assume, right? Yeah. I don't know if I ever got to the end of the game.
Well, there's no animation for, like, Hitler being hit by a bullet. First of all, he's wearing a mech suit at the end of the game. He's wearing a mech suit, and you shoot him until the mech suit falls off. Mm-hmm. And then you shoot him again, and he's just, like, running at you, or he's, like, walking at you trying to shoot. And this is just a flat, like, sprite of Hitler running at you or walking at you, whatever. And you shoot him enough times.
That sounds terrible.
And then he just melts like, like his whole body just
turns into goop.
Yeah.
At the end.
That's pretty realistic physics. But yeah, and then N64 came around and we had some real chunks, and now Neil Blomkamp's taking it a step further.
Yeah.
Best chunks in the movie? You wanna?
The Matt Damon gets that super powered gun when he's inside like one of the med bays.
That shoots through.
Yeah, he throws a guy at a wall, and then the guy like runs into the room, and he starts shooting him while he's running out of the room. It's just like feet, ankles,
deterioration,
kneecaps, like... head, and just everything, just bah!
Chunks.
Yes, I cheered.
Yeah, there was good.
I'm not like a cheering dude, but I was like, that was the best thing about the movie was that guy's chunks.
I'll agree. Those are some pretty good chunks.
The one with he blew up his face is pretty good too. Kind of unexpected, really just good. Like to the side. It was like, whoa! Like that was graphic, but not. Like,
I wish he was dead. If he died there, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, I was fine with that.
Whoa! I thought he was like a main character.
Well, yeah. I mean, what did he do other than fight Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Oh, he killed.
I'm going to take over.
He killed Jodie Foster.
I feel like he was acting with his accent. His accent is not that.
It is that thick. If you watch the District 9, it's South African.
Yeah, well, like you think you've heard all the accents.
I know a South African, and he doesn't talk anything like that.
Well, maybe it's like Johannesburg.
What is South African? Is it mostly French?
There. I don't know. It's that.
It's that.
It's the culmination of every culture that has visited South Africa.
Yeah. Well, he's got a very thick accent. I think he might be from Johannesburg. Have you heard what Neil Blomkamp sounds like when he talks?
No.
Same thing. It's all fucked.
Really?
It's so broken, and I love it. Like, it's so weird that there's so many variations of the same language. Like, I love that shit. Little accents. It's not even... Like, their main language is English.
Yeah.
In South Africa, am I wrong?
I don't know what parts of Africa...
I mean, I'm not a scientist, but... I just thought
French and English were...
Yeah. So, yeah. I thought his voice was fine. I like that he's not, like, actor voice, you know? Like...
He should have been.
I'd rather that than...
He should have been full Christian Bale.
Well, how do you feel about... How do you feel about Leonardo DiCaprio's accent in Blood Diamonds after watching... Are you guys familiar with that?
I don't remember it being weird.
He did a South African accent for Blood Diamonds.
Oh, yeah?
It was the Abru? Was it Abru?
Abru.
Chunks, TJ, what was the best thing about Elysium?
Chunks probably was the best, but like I enjoyed the action of it. Just as like, let's not think about the story at all. That was one thing I liked about the movie, is just having low expectations about the storyline.
Yeah.
I don't know, the fights were kind of cool, and like things like Chunks and the chem rail, the gun that they had, like the inventive things that they had was kind of neat, sci-fi-wise. The Elysium looked really cool, you know what I mean, showing it as like a ring, and you could see like the contours of the land with these amazing houses on them.
So. Yeah. I understand how they had, like, it was open. Like, it was just open space.
It had an atmosphere. I don't know. Whatever. That's the least of the fucking.
You could throw a ball like 20 feet into the air and it would just go into space.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, you could say that if it was spinning technically and like the camera was moving with it, right? Like as your relative, then centrifugal force could keep it.
Yeah.
Sorry. What was your?
How does it keep best thing air about there though?
Like the chunks is really good. I don't know. That's up there, but just the like the action.
The overall action.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the action.
Turning your mind off from more like thinking.
If you're not analyzing the movie whatsoever. Like, there's cool fight stuff, there's cool guns, there's Elysium's really cool, so, like...
I like doing that every now and again.
The guns are fine, but it's... They weren't as, like, ambitious as the District 9 weapons, which, again, like, I was always comparing to District 9, like, how inventive they were being with the weapons, and it seemed like these were just pretty well electric guns, like...
They had GPS grenades.
It was called chem rail. It was, like, decomposed you. Oh, that was kind of cool. That's why the chunks were that way, I think.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When they had the...
I don't know what was District 9, but...
Like, Charlton Copley's character when he was in the helicopter. Like the first fight scene, he's just, like, laser designating one guy running away, and then he throws three grenades
at GPS grenades. That was pretty cool.
Stick to the guy.
As far as the fighting action, I was actually pretty upset with that as well. It was all shaky cam.
Yeah, that fast cuts. Yeah. I hate that stuff.
Reminded me of, like, a Bourne movie. Mm. Maybe it's just... Damon, maybe the guy can't fight. But like certain movies that take the time, like I know it's you want to be part of the action, you want to feel like you're in the fight, I guess. I don't know, maybe that's their motivation, but when a fight scene backs up and you can actually see what's going on in the scene, I found that Scott Pilgrim did a good job of that. Like you could actually see what the fighters were doing instead of just being right in the action.
Yeah.
I prefer the alternative. I prefer not being shaky cam when I'm in my fight scenes, but I don't know if you like them. My top thing would be overall production design. I mean, it's easy to poke fun because it's so bad, but, Elysium looked amazing. The structures on Elysium looked great. Like the ships looked awesome and there was no faults in the sci-fi, not the sci-fi, I'm sorry, in the special effects. Like, you were a part of it. Yeah, the robots, they looked like they were alive in the world. The ships looked great. Everything looked amazing.
They moved really cool, too. They moved, like, humans, but like a more emphasized kind of movement.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Honda robot. That Honda robot that moves around really slow, but like in fast motion. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was a feat. Like, he achieved a lot of good in the production design. Like, visually, it looked amazing, you know.
I have a gripe about robots in general. This is probably off topic a little bit.
Let's do it.
If ever you want to challenge a storyline or something that doesn't make sense, robots that look like people, to me, don't make sense. Like, we make robots look like people just to say we can do it, but to actually use them, like, functionally, it's like suggesting that human structure is the best design. You know what I mean? But it's not.
Well, I mean,
it's the only design we know.
Well, sure, but we can design robots that have more mobility than one that looks like a human, right?
I don't know. I think the human body is
like
pretty...
Like a cheetah?
Well, like, give it 8 legs, like a spider, or even 6, like, just so it has more, like, it can go upstairs and shit. Like, have you seen a real robot with legs go upstairs? It, like, falls over most of the time, you know? Like, it's in the news.
Okay, real robot or robots in movies? Or fiction?
Well, either way, the point is, eventually we'll get there, right?
So, like, I've seen a robot in real life on video, run 30 miles an hour on a treadmill.
Really?
Yeah,
there's robots that do that.
Okay.
I think, no, the human body has, like, a certain amount of dexterity that I think can't be matched by any other species.
Okay, but...
Maybe a monkey.
Thing is,
millions
robots
of years
are,
of evolution.
Oh yeah, robots they're not intuitive. Like, it's not even stable to be on 2 legs. Like, if it was a
tripod, but that's because we're not like wild beasts, and like we got to a point that we were the most efficient species on the planet.
No.
And
smartest.
Then we kind of squandered that. No, I think efficient.
I don't know about that, but it doesn't matter.
The fact that we can like what do you call that? Like,
I just learned how to fucking peel
tiny
a banana.
Tiny movements and large
the
movements.
The right way, like 2 months ago.
Intricacies. Intricacies.
I think
either way, there was a like we can develop like tiny little tools, and then we can build skyscrapers. Like, we're capable of like,
yeah, but that's intelligence. It has nothing to do with our physical form.
I disagree.
Right?
It's art versus like
these.
It's the thumbs. Thumbs, buddy.
So it has nothing to do with 2 legs. I don't know. I think if we
okay, you put a fucking human brain in a dog, it can be as smart as a human, but it can't do fuck all with its body.
It doesn't have thumbs. Sweet holes.
Okay, how about writing? Writing? That's where it started, right? We had the ability to, like,
okay, but you're
turning
that to your fingers and your hands. And
you can't do it without our fingers and... Well, okay.
My point is, imagine a human, but with 4 legs.
Well, like a
centaur.
Mastador? Oh, yeah. Matador? What's a matador?
As far as a human... Matador?
That's like a...
Is it the guy with the...
A male, yeah.
Bullfighter?
Bullfighter.
Oh, red.
Matador's by far
like a matador.
The best.
Okay, what did you call it?
A mastodon.
Centaur. I would just say like a horse with a human. My point is, you have all the advantages of a human, but you just throw in an extra leg or two.
No way!
And you're more stable, you can run faster, maybe you can run as fast as like cheetahs or some shit like that. Like, physically speaking, it with robots too, like, it's hard to make a robot walk on 2 legs. Why do robots have wheels? Because it's just stable. You know, why don't cars have 4 wheels?
Wheels can't
go
over bumps.
Right. So you can give
wheels can't go upstairs.
Absolutely. So you can give it legs, but give it 4 legs.
Okay.
It's off topic.
All right. I think the idea is that you want to make the robots like recognizable enough that human beings aren't going to reject them.
Yes, absolutely. That's the only argument that you could possibly have. And it's a decent one too. I agree to that.
Yeah, like...
But functionally speaking, like, fighting robots should probably have something different.
Well, they wouldn't have hands, they'd have gun hands.
That's right.
What's the robot?
The best fighting robot is just a gun. Just a gun that a human can pull the trigger. That's the best robot.
Uh-huh. Or a floating gun?
Okay.
A gun you fire with your mind.
Pulls its own trigger?
Okay, yeah, I guess that's more efficient.
The robot in Portal 2, what's his name?
Peabody and... Oh, are you talking about Gladys?
Gladys, yeah, okay.
Oh, that one, yeah.
You can't relate to that thing.
Yeah.
She's just a giant computer network.
My...
On topic, but...
Sorry, my instinct...
My instinct, if there were robots with 4 legs, would be to reject them and start a renaissance.
Right, like, if I want a house robot that's gonna, like, clean and do my dishes and shit... Give it 2 arms and 2 legs. But if I want a robot going to go into battle and fight for me, I'm going to give it 4 legs and gun arms.
Actually,
yeah,
I had this
5 gun arms. Six.
I had this argument a long time ago about the droids in Star Wars. like why they have two arms and two legs. Mm. And it's because you want them to hold weapons that can be replaced, A. You know, like if they drop their weapon, you want to be able to give them another one. And you want that weapon to be the same one that a human can use.
That's a good
argument. And the same thing is, like, you want them to be able to use tools that humans can use. So you can put them on maintenance duty. You can have them be mechanics. So, like, what better use of a robot to replicate a human and then have that robot replicate human actions?
True. But you could still be identical in every single way except for two extra legs.
Okay, fine. But, like, okay, you've got those super battle droids where their hands are the gun.
Yep.
Jedis just cut their hands off. No problem. But the ones that are holding guns, if the gun gets dropped or broken, you can replace the gun.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a great argument. You have me at the beginning there with, like, disposable pieces. Things yeah. we already have in place. Absolutely.
That or, makes sense. Yeah, redesign every tool you...
Yeah, you yeah, want you, it, you like, can... you want to be able... You want your robot to be able to use a hammer. Sure. Or, like, in District 9's case...
It's a piece of steel, though. It can just bash it with its hand.
I suppose. You want the robot to be able to use a clipboard, as far as District 9 is concerned. Sorry, not District 9. As far as Elysium is concerned.
They're using clipboards? So they can
write people... Didn't they write tickets?
Did they write fucking tickets?
I think they wrote
tickets. They probably tickets. Did everything. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, come on. The technology then, they're still using paper and pens.
That was another thing with Elysium, is that the technology in the movie was retro... Like, it was all DOS-based, and all the, like, the computers on Earth were very primitive. And the guy's writing code, like, oh my god.
I suppose it depends when stuff went to shit, right?
The biggest infraction is how he altered Elysium's code.
Yeah, I don't actually have much of a problem with this. As by a computer programmer.
Earth people, - illegal. Let's just replace illegal with legal, and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Elysium reboots, and now everyone on Earth.
It was just the way the program was executed to me. I mean, it was kind of dumb. Like, they're trying to make it seem like computery stuff. Like, I'm doing something.
But... I'd like to think that.
I think I found it from, like, your brain.
He could have double clicked an icon, and it would have been better for sure.
Yeah.
Ugh. But
I'd like to think that Neil Blomkamp had ideas, and the studio got in the way. Mm-hmm. Oh, no one's gonna understand that. You got to make it simple.
Come on.
That was bad.
Blomkamp doesn't know.
Anything else to say about Elysium?
No.
No, I think we've pretty much exhausted it.
Get out of it.
No.
Get out of it. Towerfall.
Towerfall.
That's what Towerfall.
Ooyah.
Redeemed.
Towerfall.
I don't need a redeeming.
But... Towerfall is my favorite game right now.
Of 2013.
It's, yeah.
And 12.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be a better game this year.
It's hard to compare it to other games because it's so different, right? Like, it's the game you play in front of the TV with a bunch of people versus the game you play by yourself.
Let's explain what the game is.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Back up.
Who's going to say it?
I'll explain it.
Go ahead.
So, it's a... yeah. What?
Nothing. I was communicating to Chad without interrupting.
You did a good job.
So, Towerfall is an 8-bit, 4-person melee shooter with platforming elements. It works a lot like a Pac-Man map. It's
platforming elements, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
it works like a Pac-Man map, where if you go through the bottom of the screen, you come back at the top. If you go through the left of the screen, you come back through the right. And the entire game is based on archery combat. So you're constantly firing arrows at your opponents as they're hopping back and forth, platforming in this
platforming elements.
Yeah, in this melee environment. Fighting game environment. You are equipped with how many arrows? Three?
You start
with three. When you shoot your arrows, you have to retrieve them.
Yeah, or other people's arrows.
Yeah, your opponents can also retrieve them, and it's just chaos, and it's awesome. There's also power-ups.
I'm sorry, such cheesy, as, but that was a really good...
Thank you. Such as shields, and wings, and firepower, and
make the level
ghost,
dark.
Ghost power, yeah, you can...
Invisibility.
You can make the level dark, yeah. And... It's for it's $15, which is a tad overpriced. I would say it's worth every penny, but I don't think that people are going to give it the time.
Yeah, because of the price. $15 is a lot of money.
It is kind of steep. Especially for what you get compared to the free version.
Yeah, the free version, you just wait 12 seconds and you get the same,
like,
pretty much.
The game is like 10% more fun for $15.
Yeah.
Like, 90% of the fun that you have buying the game or something like that for, you know, free.
You do need that 12 seconds of buffering anyways.
Oh yeah, that's like, 12 seconds.
Like, okay,
that's where you drink.
That's why football works. Because after every play, they all kind of go into their little corner and just chill out for 10 seconds before the next play starts.
You can't just go right in. We're like, fuck, I need a break. Come on.
Hockey, there's no break. That's why people get in fights. They get heated. There's no whistle. That I let everyone cool down, and boom, I'm fighting. Tower fall. Take 10 seconds. Regroup.
So we're saying don't buy it, but play it.
Sorry to the developers of Towerfall. Yeah.
No, definitely buy it. You want to support that game.
If you have an Ouya, obviously you have to.
I read how much they've made so far based on sales and stuff. I think they made $30,000, which is insane in comparison to what other people make, just because they've sold the most and charged the most comparative to other Ouya games.
It's the reason to have an Ouya.
Yep.
And
Is it Ouya or Ouya?
I call it Ouya.
I say Ouya, but only because that's what I've heard you guys say before. Not you, obviously.
I think it's Ouya.
Isn't that the point, that it's called Ouya?
That's ooh. Oh, you.
Yeah.
And don't give me that potato shit. It's fucking potato.
Oh, yeah. Like, aujourd'hui. How do you spell that? O-U is the first two letters.
French?
Omelette.
Oi-oi-omelette.
It's called... No, oh, oh, yeah.
Oi-oi-omelette. It's a good game. We had a great time playing it last week.
Yeah.
Beer fueled, and I wish we did that instead of going to see Elysium.
Yeah, I'm thinking if we can develop a market, or if we can develop a listener base, then we definitely have an Ouya tournament.
For
charity or something like that. That'd be fucking amazing. You know what the thing is you'd get kicked out way too fast. It would have to be like Race to 100.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Maybe it is Ouya.
Jure.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe that's how they thought of it.
Yeah, what
about
Hey
guys, what about an Android-based console? Ooh, yeah.
Well, that's what I would say called. Oh, yeah.
Oh. No, I think it was ooh. Ooh,
if
yeah.
If it was ooh, yeah, it would be O-O-Y-A.
No.
Okay, spell ooh.
Oh, you.
Good answer.
I want to. Oh man, that was a good 3 seconds for you.
I know.
Don't say. Like, wait, don't say the wrong thing. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't say the wrong thing. Oh, you.
I know. Ooh, ooh's oh. But you need a different letter on the controller.
You know what the problem is with Ouya? Oh yeah, is that the controller is absolutely terrible.
Oh.
And it's not so much the design; it's the build. Like, buttons stick down. I'm sure there's a delay, like, in the...
I didn't notice a delay, but the button thing...
Well, I mean, they're only battery-powered. So if you've got if your batteries aren't kicking at high speed, there's going to be a delay.
Okay, but the Xbox battery-powered controllers...
They do the same thing.
They're the same.
Do they really? The same thing. Yeah, they lag if the batteries are low.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they died. Oh, yeah.
Okay, but then that's not...
I hate it.
That's not really a problem that complain about specifically to Ouya, unless you're complaining about that for everybody, right?
Wired controllers, man. It's the way to go.
I guess there is no wired option.
I started playing wired with my 360, but I haven't played it in weeks.
The worst problem, I think, is the button sticking. Like, it literally messed me. I'm trying to jump, and the green button is sticking, you know what I mean? You can feel it feels like shit in comparison to other controllers, like the buttons and everything, but it plays fine when you're playing, except for the button sticking really bothered me, just because that case... you know, the front plate comes off.
So
fucked it up.
Yeah, highly recommended. Use only Xbox wired controllers for that game.
It does support PlayStation.
One of the best things about Ouya is the ability to pair any controller with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
That's incredible.
That's really good.
Oh, sorry, it reeks.
We're stuck in the cove.
You want to talk about DayZ? I'll talk about my DayZ ventures.
You've got...
5 minutes?
You've got... 3 minutes to talk about DayZ. Well,
that's plenty. Okay.
Kyle loves the game, and he'll have his opportunity to stand for it, to fight.
Hey, I like it. I do like it. It's Kyle talked me into it. He talked to me literally for an hour and a half on the phone, and I was just like, this does sound awesome. He sold me on it. So
you did the same thing to me.
I bought it and downloaded it, whatever. I played alone, and it was the worst thing imaginable. Like, you spawn in a map, you have no idea where you are. You know, there's no GPS. There's like all the video game conventions that you're used to, like knowing where you are on a map that is like easy to navigate, gone. Like, there's nothing. You start with nothing.
Sorry, I don't
you
mean
start getting chased by zombies. You don't know what the hell's going on. Sorry, go ahead.
To interrupt just for a second, Kyle uses a second laptop to run a map and compass.
Not a compass.
Yeah, but he knows based on, like, okay, I've got to go northeast, and then he runs to a landmark, and then he's like, okay, I'm going west from here.
Yeah, like, I have a map open on my second screen, and, like, when you get into the game as a new character, it says, like, where you are. Like, okay. Like, you are here, kind of thing. And then you look on the map, it's like, okay, I'm here, and where do I want to go? And you just basically run. There's no GPS or compass that you have for your character.
You should be able to find it. Okay, well, that's cool.
But you have to find it, and it takes hours to find this kind of stuff.
Is that...
I played for about an hour without Kyle. I didn't see anybody. I died, like three times. I was like, okay, this kind of sucks. But then I played with Kyle, and he walked me through it. He like, ushered me in, gave me guns, all this kind of stuff to start out with.
That's nice.
And we walked for, like, he's so cautious because he has all this, like, great stuff, and he doesn't want to lose it. So he goes into a server where there's only, like, four people playing, so we can, like, be safe to go out in the distance. So we're literally just, we're walking out, like, hours of just straight walking, and, like, okay, I'm getting hungry. We got to hunt something to get some food. And, like, we hunt it. We're getting chased by zombies. Like, okay, hide in a tree so the zombie can't find you. Then we start a fire. We cook the food. You eat the food. And now you're fucking thirsty. So you got to go find water. Boil the water. And it's just like, it's this like mind-numbing, like...
So the longer you play, the more real it feels. And the more good it gets. That's kind of the impression I've gotten so far from what we're talking about.
Pretty much.
I find that, like, that's...
It sounds fun, yeah.
No, it doesn't sound fun.
Oh, okay. But
that's like, it's fun versus complexity, right? You know? And Kyle's all about the latter.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be fun as long as he's doing something.
I had a good time, though. Like, we were playing yesterday. Like,
fun for Kyle is waiting in a bush for half an hour.
Yeah. Boring. Let me tell you, though, like, playing this game, you do get that feeling of, like, I don't want to lose my stuff. And I want to sit and wait and scan the horizon. It's a beautiful landscape, too. Like the sound is really good.
I was going to say, games nowadays have a hard time creating that. Like, with people wanting stuff to be thrown at them constantly, they're constantly doing something.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that sense of realism, that fear of death anymore.
Yeah.
You know, certain games have tried to recreate that by introducing a single element in the game, but it doesn't really fully do that because you have to commit completely to that concept. So I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. An idea. I haven't really played it yet, but
it is a very cool idea.
On an episode of this podcast I listened to, it's called Film Junk. They all work for the games industry, and they were breaking down. Actually, it was Game Junk, and they were breaking down The Last of Us. And one guy, like, he's all about story, and he's actually finally impressed for once that there's a story that's compelling in a video game, and like he's so interested in following this character. And the whole basis for the game is survival, right? But at any point within the game, you can die. And then it just starts you 30 seconds earlier. Like, a game where, for some way, they have to pull it off where you can't die, but you feel scared to die. Like, that's where it's going to be the best. Where it's, and like, you're constantly part of the story, and, like, if you fail a mission, then the game is altered because you failed that mission, and you continue on.
Yeah, zombie you tried, but no one else... Well, actually, other people could pick up your gear. It was kind of online.
Yeah.
Is that true? You can always get your own gear.
But do you ever actually feel like... I'm dead. Like, there needs to be games.
Zombie, you did a good job of, like, fuck, there's three zombies, I'm gonna get my ass kicked, I'm afraid of dying.
No, there's so many, like, things at play inside DayZ. Like, you drink water without boiling it, there's a potential that you're gonna get sick. And so you have this infection that slowly takes your health down over time, and you have to find antibiotics, and the only antibiotics you can find are in, like, a big town that has a hospital. And when you go into these big towns, there's plenty of players just waiting for somebody to go in and check this shit.
This is the... It sounds amazing to me, actually. The more I think about this, I have this, like...
It is awesome, thing about, but, like...
I love zombie... Post-apocalyptic in general, I love. Zombies especially. There's this whole, like, psychology created by, like, what do people act like in a zombie, like, infested world, right?
Yeah.
And this game is recreated it perfectly. Like, people don't realize that, yeah, you have to worry about survival, like, dying about... thirst and being poisoned by the water and shit, and the animals you eat and cooking them properly,
yeah.
And then other people thinking, like, I'm gonna kill you only because you're gonna kill me, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's, to me, is amazing. And if that game has created, like, a sense of that even more so than any game exists today. And dude, to me, that's exciting.
I seen one other player when we played. I literally played for about 15 hours. And and there was one player, and like Kyle and I were walking like through this open field, and I'm like, holy shit, dude, get down. And we both like drop to the ground, and this guy's just kind of running over. He drops down too because he's seen us. He looks over and he starts shooting at Kyle. And Kyle's like, fuck, I'm being shot, I'm being shot. And so I aim over and I'm shooting and I kill the guy. And then I have to go over and give Kyle like a blood transfusion and like fix him up.
Oh my God.
And like literally, he's like crying on the headset. Like he's like, oh my God, help, help me, help me. And it's crazy that it
can otherwise, you'd have to defend his corpse on your own.
Yeah. And
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the game sounds amazing. Everything about it sounds great. Kyle pitching that game to you, it's like he's selling you on a new life.
Yeah, it's fun. Like,
Second Life zombie dude, version.
As soon as I like logged out of it, I was like, this is stupid. Like, I don't care. And like, you just start thinking about it.
And how many hours you pour in and how little you get out of it.
Yeah, but it's like that was still a lot of fun. Like, dude, I had a great time traversing.
Imagine we're all playing this game. We're sticking together. We're trying to get gear.
That's my dream.
That could be a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's exactly my dream in the game, and I don't think it can be realized. But like, I want to get with.
I almost
like,
bought it the other day.
You should get it.
I think if you're
I'll play
it
again.
If
we're all three of us.
Joe, it's gonna swallow you. At one point, it's gonna swallow you.
I don't have a PC that can run that game.
Come on.
Well, I have both settings.
God, I'm literally this is what the game does. Like, I started out this conversation by saying, I hate this game, but like, okay, let me say the bad thing that happened. So I found all this great stuff. We found helicopter crash sites, which are very rare in the game, and we found like 5 in one like 3-hour game.
Okay.
And they have the best loot, like the best guns, the best like clothing and stuff you can get. Kyle found a ghillie suit where you can just lay down and be totally invisible. And he was like, "Oh, Tina's home, so I gotta go." And I was like, "Oh shit!" I was like, "I kind of wanted to play a little bit more." So I logged out of that server, joined another one with like a bunch of people. And I was like, okay, this will be kind of fun. And literally not 10 seconds after I joined, I walk up and I like zoom in over a hill looking around, just shot in the side of the head. I'm dead. All of my stuff that I've accumulated, gone. I'm just like,
yeah. Well, Kyle, you got to be careful. Like, you can't log in.
Yeah, I was like, I'm never playing again.
You cannot log in unless you're ready to be a part of that world.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle turned it on for a couple of minutes just to show me what it was like. And he got the anxiety built up like a fever for him. He was just like, I have to close this game down.
He's fucking crazy, though. He's nuts.
Yeah, but he was just like, you know what? I don't want to be in this game. And he fucking saved it, turned it off right away. He's like, he was trying to show me stuff. And he's just like, I'm walking around out here. Like, I'm exposed.
Yeah.
And he just turned it off, closed his fucking laptop, and we're like, okay, let's do something else. Like,
that's kind of awesome, though. There's
things. I'm pro DayZ.
That's always going.
Okay.
I'm pro DayZ. Like, my goal was...
You could run it on Shelby's laptop.
Well, maybe Shelby's, yeah.
You should get it.
But my goal is to wait for the standalone. That's going to be on
Standalone's
console.
Not coming out for years.
That's fine with me.
2 days ago, there was an update saying, like, we're working on the foliage right now. That's all we got.
Well, either way. I mean, I can't do it. I can't do PC gaming for all the reasons I outlined in the text thread today. Or was it yesterday?
You don't have to worry about anything. DayZ is a piece of shit.
Why are you trying to sell us on PC gaming?
But because I committed to it, I started to see all the flaws. Like,
there's no flaws.
There are no flaws.
That's the only
problem.
You
don't have to upgrade it.
Well, okay, but I use my PC for piracy. I'm not willing to stop doing that.
What do you mean?
I download movies, I download TV, I download music.
Why do you have to stop doing that?
Yeah, why?
Because it comes with a high risk. There's a high risk of fucking... Yeah, of course it does.
Don't download any RAR files or fucking EXEs.
Listen, I know, okay? Like, I've
the
been around...
The porn this guy's on.
Oh, right. I've been around for a while, okay? I know how the shit goes down, but...
Yeah, like...
But, like, my kids are going to use that fucking laptop. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I'd rather a box that I know is going to work every time I put that disc in. Mm. And, yeah, I'm wrong.
If you can afford the extra cost of buying a PC dedicated to gaming, maybe that solves all your problems.
Maybe. Maybe it does. But, I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm buying PS4.
PS4? Yay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
That's okay. I'm all for console gamings anyways.
I really don't want you to buy DayZ, but, like, I would still like to play it.
You know what? I'm not willing to pour in a ton of hours into it.
Yeah, I don't have
the time. That's the thing. That is the main thing. Yeah. Like,
if I have to, maybe I'll reconsider.
That's why I can't play Battlefield.
Battlefield, you don't have to put that much time into.
Oh, yeah, but I can put about 3 hours a week into Battlefield. Is that going to do anything for me?
Yeah, but it's...
I'm going to be a noob forever.
If you join in, you play, like, as much as you can. You play 20 minutes here and there. You sign into DayZ, like, clear your fucking schedule for the night, because you're not doing anything. Like... Okay, my goal for the next 3 hours is to find a water source, boil the fucking water, and drink it.
That's crazy.
That is literally how insane this game is.
It really makes you question what is good about a game.
I like it, but I want to be playing with all of you guys. I was cut off with this plan, or I was trying to say this earlier. But my goal is to get together with you guys, have a safe house that we've built up. That we have, like, we
can't have a safe host, though. It's always open to anybody to come.
Well,
by
I know,
and check
but
it out.
I want to have something, and it's like, if you know, if I've got a couple hours to kill, and you need someone to go to the fucking grocery store with, I'll be your guy. Like, me and you will go to the grocery store. We'll leave the safe house, and we'll find groceries together. You know, like, nobody goes out without a buddy. We've just got this, like, fucking tent, and we know what's going on outside the tent. Like, that's the kind of game I want to be, where I can jump in, go on a 2-hour mission, help out the group, you know, and then that's that.
I watched one video on the game, and it was about a guy, like, walking around by himself, and he got into, like, almost like a standoff with somebody else, you know, talking about, I'm going to trade you this, and they end up shooting each other. I feel like having a buddy in that game makes all the difference. You just have him hiding in the trees, so as soon as you die, he just comes in and shoots that guy, you know, if he can, depending on how many there are.
That's
right?
What Kyle was doing yesterday. We were at 2 helicopter crash sites. I was looting them, and he was just zoomed in where I was, like, looking around.
Last man standing. It's all you need in that game, right? Like, it kind of seems that way. I don't know, realistically, I haven't played it, but...
See,
the better.
I've got delusions of grandeur with that game that, like, I want that whole society to slowly become, like, Walking Dead, where you've got Woodbury and you've got the prison. Like, everyone has pledged allegiance to a certain class. There's no way for the game to actually pull that off.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, yeah. Like,
there's battles as communities. Like, that's the big shit that I like. I've always said, and I'm sorry to continue here, but I've always said the biggest thing in gaming ever, and maybe now it's irrelevant, but 2 years ago, if they would have announced World of Warcraft is ending, like, on a specific date, and there is a scripted ending, and you can be a part of it, and then the whole world is just down for a year. No one's playing Warcraft. What's the benefit of that? A year later, Warcraft 2. Like, World of Warcraft 2. But I've always said, like, there should be an ending. Now that you've got all this community and all these players, like, just so part of the world, end the world. You know, like, what an epic thing to do in a game.
That's the only thing it would be, though, is epic, right?
Well, yeah, but it's
it
like...
It wouldn't produce money, people would be pissed off. Like,
wow, what am I going to do for a year?
Yeah, like...
That would be huge. It would change the industry.
It would make waves. I don't know if it would change the industry.
Well, no, but, like, and then, okay, maybe a couple months later, there's World of Warcraft 2.
There's people that have played this thing.
Yeah, but dude, how many people are going to be like, inception. I'm
just
never playing another Blizzard game again?
It's just an example. But all I'm saying is like, a game that could build such a vast community, and then you script an ending. It's like, come be part of the end. Like, for Battlefield, any online game, like, 2 months before Battlefield 4 is coming out, let's end the world of Battlefield 3. Like, just script something. Like, there's a war.
Yeah. Everybody in
war, and like, yeah, you're part of, you're a fucking soldier in that war, and when you die, you're not part of the war anymore.
That'd be crazy.
It would be crazy.
That'd be fucking amazing.
It would be.
it couldn't be 2 months out, because, like, well, I guess you could start a new game. Like, it could go back. Yeah, well, no,
a 2-week competition, whoever's left standing at the end of the 2 weeks.
Well, they could script a war. And then, like, if you die, you can continue to play Battlefield 3 with all the people who have already died.
Yeah.
With all the fallen soldiers, you can get into a match with them.
Oh, man.
But the people who are still part of the, like...
Can only be on PC, though.
The people who are still alive are part, like, this would be huge. Imagine being in that war.
People would, like, hack to get extra characters in, like, oh, I'm creating a new gamer tag. Rejoin the war. Like,
you know what? Fine. Like,
no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying, like, it would be epic.
People,
like,
people
death
pay
would
for
mean
new
something
accounts.
For a while, and, like... Honestly, so, what's the difference between doing that and making a game that has the same concept? there is a difference, obviously, but, like, the only reason we don't have that game is because it's, like, the hardware doesn't exist today, right? To kind of support such an epic war.
Yeah. The, do you guys have anything else to say? Like, we're kind of closing off.
I just want to say, when I got shot in DayZ after I signed back in, like, all my stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty set up here. Just shot, everything's over. Everything that I've done for the last 8 hours is just gone.
That sucks.
I'm just, like, I literally, my mouth dropped. It was like the Red Wedding of Game of Thrones. Like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
How'd you want to call it that?
Huh?
Did they say that in the show?
What? No, it's a, yeah, it's what it's called on the internet. The Red Wedding is what it's called on the internet.
Oh, is that the episode name, title?
I don't think it was the episode title. It's what has been called.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think
people who are trying to be, like, a subtle.
No, it's in the book.
Yeah, I know, but people who want to talk about it, they call it the Red Wedding. Okay. I think. TJ, anything else to add before the end of the show?
Oh.
So, I think it's quite a good lead-in, and TJ, you don't know about this, but the next top five that we do, as a trio here, at least,
okay,
top five game ideas. And I think I think the final conversation on this episode is a good teaser for that.
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into that.
So I think, you know, I wanted to bring it up, like, TJ's coming over, what are we going to talk about? And I said to Chad, top five game ideas, and right away I was just like, I need weeks to think about that.
Yeah.
Like, so something to look forward to, something to start thinking about, and we'll have that episode. We're going a little bit long here, so let's put it to a close. My name's Joe, and I am living life in the cove.
My name's Chad. I'm going to be sleeping in the cove, baby.
And I'm TJ, and I will be spooning Big Spoon with Chad in the cove.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode. Let us know your thoughts, please, in any means possible. All range mode out.
All range mode.